I wanted to, where's Matt? Awesome. I wanted to do the happy dance on the front row because basically you just, that's what God gave me this week to download. And we're going to talk today, church, about divine connections. So amazing. I love how he orchestrates things and he is good because when we are ready to listen, when we are open to him, he's right there ready to work. Yeah. So I'm going to get this, bear with me, kind of get my keynote going. That's cool. Turn to your neighbor and just say, you look amazing. Go ahead. Because you are a child of God. I love it. Shabbat baso. Did it go? Okay. I don't know if you can see that. Some of you might recognize yourselves up there. Do you see it? Okay. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Let's pray. All right. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your word that brings life. Thank you, Father, for just being with us here, and we know that your presence is here among us. Thank you that you've given us Holy Spirit, that we tune into you, we walk with you moment by moment. So, Father, I pray for each of us today that you would give a word in due season, that we would walk out of here just taking truth and connecting to those around us. So, Father, I just submit to you in the name of Jesus and just only let the words that you want to come out do that now, Father. And I release things to you and just praise you because you are a mighty God. In your name, amen. So if you can see just these wonderful group of ladies, some of you might be thinking, oh, my goodness, I'm on the big screen up there. But I just wanted to start. This is our part of our Victorious Gals on Monday morning. And the reason that I put them up there is week after week, I actually just have the joy of hearing and being inspired by these women of stories of how they encounter Jesus in their day-to-day lives. And, you know, the Bible says, encourage one another while it's called today. And these girls, just some of them, they might be walking down the street and all of a sudden they see a homeless person. And the next thing, they've bought them food. They're engaging in conversation while having a baby in their hand. Others are in the park and just a conversation that points them to the Father. So it's incredible that moment by moment, as we're doing life, we have opportunities to connect with the world around us. And just wanted to throw this out at you. Can you see this? There's three things that I want us to think about today. That as children of God, the first thing is that we're ambassadors. We're representatives of God all around us. And I like the way this is worded. It says, we represent him to those around us. Okay? We represent him. So, guys, my teens, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're here. Because you might look at me right now and just think, you know, this is what I've always done with my life. But do you know what? I was just praying because I said, Lord, if they're here, let me just share what you want me to share. But there was a turning point in my life when I was 16. Are any of you 16? Raise your hand if you're 16, 17, 18. You're younger. Okay. There's a group of you here. I was 16. Believe it or not, I got asked to leave public high school. All right, I had totally dropped out of studying, got connected with the wrong group. And you know what? Those decisions weren't very wise. And thankfully, someone came into my life and told me about Jesus, said, this is the way. They were a friend that came along and said, do you know what? This is gonna give you a better direction. And I'm so thankful. And do you know when we... One of the things that I felt that he was saying today is that he wants us to just rest. And if we're representing, if we represent Christ to others, we're doing it from a place of total love. Okay? So could you do this for me? Put your hand on your heart, if you don't mind. I just want us to pause. Pause is good. And he's saying that as my child, I've given you everything. And my love is full. My love is abundant. Yeah, we rest in the shadow of his wings. His arms are underneath us. I love that picture. And it says, the beloved of the Lord dwells securely between his shoulders. So if we're called to connect, to represent Christ to this world, we're doing it from a place of love. Not out of performance, not out of duty, nothing but his love. So thank you, Father. Just give that revelation to us right now. Father, you've done so much for each of us. Just saturate our hearts with your love. Thank you, God. Amen. And do you know what? It's been a real battle to even get this together. And I really believe that, you know, that we've got some opposition, but as that song we sang earlier, our God is so much greater. Do you believe that? Your God, our God, my God is so much greater. And you know, there's two things that God has given us. He's given us his word. And I'm looking at my teens because the Bible is his words. I call it Romans 3:2 says that he's given us the oracles of his heart. How beautiful. You know, today's Valentine's Day. If you want the best written stuff, it's his word. And it's love letters to us. And someone told me when I was your age, guys, Bible stands for basic information before you leave Earth. Okay? All right? You look at me like, what? Is that an American phrase? No. Basic information before leaving Earth. And even, I mean, this week, I was in the hairdresser's. She was like, so what are you doing for Valentine's? I said, oh, you never guess. I'm actually speaking at a church. And she's like, okay. And, you know, we've had conversations before. But I started talking about the Bible. I said, that's one thing I'm going to bring up, and that's what I teach from. She said, I've never read the Bible. And I said, well, you really should, because you know what? You run your own business. If you want to know how to be successful, if you want wisdom, if you want to know how to get along with people that you just can't really stand, if you want to just, you know, be, yeah, the Bible is our source of life. I read a scripture this morning, and I'm so excited because you know what? I have 3 pages of notes, and the Lord said, girl, don't use those notes. Oh, that's hard. So I'm depending. And so Psalm 119, verse 50 says, his word gives us life. Okay, I don't know how much you can remember, but if you have a phone and you want to write that reference down, just this week know that his word gives us life. So where are you looking for life? My teens, I'm going to keep you on your heels all day. Sorry. Do you know what? Where are we looking for life? Where are we looking for acceptance, significance? Who defines who I am? When I look at the word, it says that I'm loved by God, that I'm his chosen daughter, that I'm accepted. That it's, you know what? The world is looking for 3 things: purpose, destiny, fulfillment. Would you agree? The world is looking for purpose, identity, destiny, and fulfillment. And in the Word, through relationship with Jesus Christ, he gives us those things. He's given each one of you in here purpose. All right? Jeremiah 24:7 says that he gives us purpose and desire to know him more. Okay? He gives us purpose and desire to know him more. And I am going to read this just so I don't quote it wrong. But it says, I will give them a heart to know me. Is that amazing? Oh, you want to know what life is about? You want to know the purpose? Why we get up? He says, I give them a heart to know me. That's a beautiful scripture. And you know, so he gives us his word, all right? We hear the word through talks. We hear podcasts. We hear worship, beautiful worship songs. Many of them are just phrases from the word. But do you know he wants us to have one-on-one time with him? And do you know why? Because up here, you can think a certain way about me, or just in church, we can look a certain way. But when we have that one-on-one time with our Father, guess what? He knows everything. So he knows all going on in my heart. He knows the things I might be struggling with. And I can bear my soul before him. Okay, so ask yourself, that one-on-one time, how much are you getting it? Yeah? How much? Is it 5 minutes? Is Richard Rockcliffe here? No, okay, they're not here. He runs marathons. Does anyone else run marathons? Raise your hand. Oh, there's a guy in the back. Don't know who you are, but well done. Okay. Marathons. I can only imagine when you first start training, yes, that you do a little at a time. Okay? He's shaking his head like, well, I don't know. I don't run. Can't you tell? No clue. So if you're running a little, if I tried to run, I'll give a different analogy. If I tried to run, you know, I might run around the block and then think, okay, too tired. But I would work myself a little at a time. So I'm just asking you this week, if you've taken the word of God, if these are his oracles, yep. All right. Last week, Nikki had a fantastic preach on knowing the thoughts or knowing if words are coming out of your mouth, those thoughts are coming from somewhere, and that the word is going to strengthen us. So ask yourself, have I spent time in the word at all? 5 minutes. Build 5 minutes. And do you know what? Like if I learned to run, I'd run around the block. Then I'd run around the block again. Okay, do you have blocks here? You have blocks, okay. Sorry, my natural thing goes. Yeah, so it's just that stamina that we're building a little bit at a time. So he's given us his word. He's also equipped us with Holy Spirit. Hallelujah, okay. Holy Spirit and just many words when in John 14, there's a passage that Jesus basically, the night before he was going to die, he said, you know what, don't let your heart be troubled, don't let it be afraid, but I'm giving you the Holy Spirit. And the word, the Holy Spirit, is comforter, guide, one who comes alongside. And the word is called parakletos. Okay, that's a little Greek word, but para means to come alongside with. All right, so we're not doing life on our own. The Holy Spirit is there coming alongside. And then kletos means one who is assigned to. I love that. The Holy Spirit is assigned to us. Now, why is that important, guys? Why is it important that the Holy Spirit's assigned to us? Because if I'm reading his word, if I'm aware of where he's working, what he wants to do to people all around, we have life in us. Would you agree? We have life. The world's looking for purpose, identity, and we've got the answer. So as we are doing life, we want to be tuned in to the Holy Spirit. I'm going to just give you an example. Not yesterday, but the week before, I was at a training program in London, and as I was coming home late in the, well, it was about 5 o'clock in the evening, I was coming up the back way by Noak Hill on the way to Brentwood, and clear as a bell, I heard the Holy Spirit say, turn in here down to St. Thomas. Well, St. Thomas Church is where my husband's first wife, Barb, is buried. And so I just felt like the Holy Spirit said, go by the gravesite. And the good news, she knew Jesus. Okay, she knew Jesus, so she is in heaven. She lost her battle to cancer, but she's in heaven rejoicing, having an amazing time. And do you know what? Our our section of life is like this right now. And we live so much for that little bit. We live so much for the little bit when we've got billions of time ahead. And that on when I was there, I looked at her tombstone, and it's Psalm 16:11, and it says, "You will show me the path of life." Psalm 16:11, "You will show me the path of life, and in your presence is fullness of joy." And as I stood there, I thought, Lord, she was only 34 when you took her. And, you know, have I done those things that you really want me to do? Have I engaged with all the people that you've called me to engage with? And just, I was there for a few moments, and then as I looked, I thought, I want to get some flowers for the gravesite. And here's what happened. I went into Brentwood real quick before they closed. It was really dark. It was one of those windy Saturday nights. And I grabbed some flowers. They had some red plastic roses, and I thought, these will do great. Here's what happened. I'm walking across the zebra crossing in Brentwood. Two big blokes, 25 years old, okay, I'm thinking they're 25, they look like bouncers. One turns to me and says, "Oh, are those for me, love?" And I went, "Actually, they're for a gravesite." And he went, "Oh, yeah, I'm sorry." And I just heard the Holy Spirit take over, and on the pedestrian crossing, zebra crossing, traffic stopped, it's dark and windy, I hear myself look at them and say, "Do you guys think about eternity?" And you know, it just came out. And the guy, one of them looked at me and said, "I'd like to think that I'd go up there." And he pointed to the heavens. And then just again, Holy Spirit said, I said, "There's one way you get there, and that's through Jesus." Okay, we're talking a 30-second conversation. And then he says, "So you're saying Jesus is the way forward?" I just thought, what? And I said, "Absolutely." And he said, "I'll keep that in mind. Thanks, I'll keep that in mind." You know, and I don't know. Yes, God, come on. Yeah. And I say that because in a moment, we have the chance to change the eternal destination of those around us. Okay? It's not us. It's not me thinking that up, but it's just bringing life in the moment. And there's a passage that I want us to look at just briefly. I'm going to summarize it. If you want to turn there, it's Luke 7, Luke 7, verses 11 to 15. So guys over here, my teens, you with me? I love it. So here's a story, and this is called The Widow of Nain, all right? And The Widow of Nain, basically, well, what's happening while you're turning there, Jesus had already started his ministry. He had chosen his disciples. He was performing miracles. It was authenticating his ministry. And as he was, you know, just, he was being God. He was showing everyone who he was. And so he's coming in. He just healed the centurion's servant in Capernaum. And now he's coming into this town called Nain, which, funny enough, means pleasant. Well, it wasn't very pleasant because there was a woman there that had lost her husband. She was a widow, and she had lost her only son. So that meant that she was pretty much destitute, okay? Because of Mosaic law, she couldn't inherit what was hers, land, money, okay? It had to go to a male, so she was destitute. So she's, if you imagine, it says a large crowd is with her, and they're wailing. They had mourners. So a large crowd had come. They were leaving the city, and they were carrying this coffin, okay, had the coffin of her son. And at the same time, coming into the city, so can you picture this with me? Jesus had, it said he had a large gathering with him because people had seen Jesus' miracles. And as he was coming with his disciples, with the crowd, he was coming into the city. And they were buzzing. Can you imagine if you had just seen Jesus do miracles, you'd be thinking, what's he going to do next in this town? So he's coming in from this, he's coming into the town. At the same time, the other group, okay, the mourners, the woman who's weeping, she's coming out of the town wailing. And it says here, bear with me. So there's a large crowd, and she's in a hopeless situation. A large crowd followed Jesus. Two crowds met at the city gate. And verse 13 says, Jesus saw her, and his heart overflowed with compassion. So there's two crowds of people. Okay, the buzzing one all of a sudden probably thought, whoa, what's going on? There's mourning. Jesus saw her. So the thing that struck out when I was reading this, it's that Jesus sees us individually. I'm looking here. There's a lot of you, a lot of people in here. Okay, but I can look, and Jesus sees us individually. I can see, I can name. I'm looking at Paul, okay? Paul, Jesus knows you individually. Yaz, Jesus knows you individually. So in that crowd, he went to her individually. And it says, the scripture says, he was overflowed with compassion. And what that means, the verb, the Greek word here says that everything in him, everything, like his inner, if you think about your vital organs right here, everything was moved with compassion for her at this moment. And then he says two words that changes her life. Don't cry. Don't cry. She's mourning. She just lost her son. Two words. And then he turns to the coffin, and he breaks protocol. If you imagine, people know he's a rabbi, he's a teacher, he's dressed like it. He touches the coffin. That would make him unceremonial, unclean, and then also just, make him unclean, and it wasn't the protocol. And he says to the young man, arise, get up. Okay? Arise, get up. And it says at that moment, the young man sits up, begins talking, and God, or Jesus, presents him to his mother. Okay? Does that amaze you? Okay? I'd love to see that today. I'd love to see that. I was at a school, that ministry school, and one of the men was talking about in Uganda that they've seen numerous people raised from the dead. And there's nothing that our God cannot do. There is nothing that our God cannot do. And I love this story, and I believe that the reason that Can you see that? There's twofold thing here. Let me just carry on. Sorry. So the Jesus' compassion was proven to be the turning point in her life. Her son she loved was alive. She inherited her husband's estate and her future secure. And everyone was in awe and recognized God's power. And just there's two things that just stood out as I read this story. And the first thing is Jesus had compassion on her, okay? And he's saying, each one of you individually, it's a large group here, but God has compassion on you, okay, individually. So he knows everything going on in your life at the moment. That's cool to me. He knows everything going on. So he knows the compassion. He has compassion for us. But then also, he's just as I read this, he was saying, Penny, do you have compassion on those around us? The word today, as I was just reading and just sitting before him, this word came to mind, safeguard. I look at Tracy Bishop because she's the queen of safeguarding. but safeguarding. And we think nowadays we have an understanding what it means, and we do. But he's saying that all the people around us, everyone who is around us in our workplace, our neighbors, have you thought about this? He's safeguarded. We are entrusted. They're entrusted to our care. If we have life and God is life in us and they don't know God, then eternally they're going to be apart from him. And just like the story of the widow of Nain, that as this crowd came in, one was Jesus was life. He's bringing life, and life met death. And at that point, it's a powerful story because it showed that Jesus conquered death. Okay, and then foretelling of him, even again, raising when he rose from the dead. So as I want to ask you that as we encounter people, we have life. We have life. And that life in us can counteract the death that is holding them from not knowing who Jesus is. Yeah, do you agree? Yeah, it's good. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, thank you, Lord. Do you know there's a phrase, you guys with me, my teens? Sorry, I'm just going to keep on you. I don't look like a basketball coach. Would you ever thought I coached basketball, anybody? Maybe. Yeah, my husband says, sure. Okay. So for probably about 6 years, I coached basketball in Essex, and I would go to the schools and have like 25 little guys, year five and six, running around. That's always exciting. But this picture, if you can see it, it was in our academy. It's kind of hard to see, but it's so important because our habits every day define us. I'm going to say that again. You guys look at me. Our habits define us. If you never look at the Word of God, if you just spend 1 minute and read the daily plan and think, tick, I've done that, you're going to miss out on so much that he has for you. Because at 16, that turning point in my life, that's when I started understanding who I was and started reading the scripture. And that became the foundation for my life. And there's a saying here up on the screen. It says, be careful of your thoughts because they become your words. Last week you talked about words. And do you know what it says? Out of the out from the heart, the mouth speaks. So be careful of your thoughts. They become your words. Be careful of your words. They become your actions. Okay? Be careful of your actions, they become your habit. And that habits becomes our character, and that character becomes our destiny. All right? So you've got your thoughts, your words, your actions. Those actions become habit. All right? Habit, character, destiny. And the decisions that we make today will become tomorrow's circumstances that we live in. Can I say that again? And I just want you to be with me, okay? I'm looking at some faces. Come on, church, all right? The decisions that we make today will become tomorrow's circumstances that we live in. So choose wisely. Choose life, okay? I just think this is coming to mind, and one of our guys, we used to say this phrase growing up to them almost every day. If you have a little one, if you can imagine, when they were two, I didn't quote this over them, but my daily decisions determine my destiny. How many of you heard that? So I think they use it in the DNA course, but for 20 years I've been saying our daily decisions determine our destiny. you know, can you imagine saying that over a two-year-old? They're like, what? No. But just the idea of our choices definitely will become tomorrow's circumstances we live in. And we've got to have the wisdom. But what's real important, a lot of stuff can hang in our soul. And if we're not careful, if we don't watch or kind of monitor our souls, then we can make decisions that just aren't good. Yeah. Okay. Our youngest son, when he was in year 13, anyone in year 13 yet? Okay. I'm sorry. I'm just, my heart is for you guys because this is such a key stage in your life. When our youngest son was in year 13, he basically had grown up with a group of guys. For 12 years, they were all buddies. And all of a sudden, these guys were going in a different direction. And he thought, I can't keep hanging with these guys. They're looking at stuff that I don't need to be looking at. They're doing things. It's just they're heading in a wrong direction. And he thought, God, I need friends. I can't do school without friends. So we kept praying, pray for a like-minded friendship. So other friends that wanted to actually work hard and go to university one day. That was a huge decision that he made. I don't know if any of you could do that. You've got all your buddies, and then you think, if I keep going down this direction, I'm not going to be where I want to be. And I'm going to be in some circumstances that I don't want to be in. So he made a choice to say, I'm going to choose some new friends. And I remember him coming home one day. I don't know if you remember this, Gare, but he said, you won't believe they threw food at me. Okay? We're not talking year three. We're talking year 13. They wear suits and ties, and they're supposed to be thinking of, university or, jobs. They threw food at him, so he got a bit of abuse. But we said, you know what, babe, just keep going. And that was the turning point. Guys, spiritually, that year was the turning point in his life that he said yes to Jesus, and it cost him something. And as I was praying about today, that story, the widow of Nain, she had death on her. She had things that were dead. And I went and I was walking our dog, and I went into King George's playing fields, and I was as I was looking through the woods and just said, God, what do you want to speak over people? I felt there was two things that he said, is that, there's a lot in our lives that appear to be dead, okay? There are things in our lives that appear to be dead. So they might be circumstances that just look hopeless. It might be job. It might be finances. It might be relationships that need recovered. It might be people in our family that grew up hearing God's word, but now they're far off. And I feel like he's saying that he wants us to declare and speak life over those things. And then the second thing, and we're going to do that in a minute, by the way. And the second thing was that those things that are dead in our life that don't need to be there, we need to get rid of. Okay? I don't know if you're awake, but those things that are dead in our life that don't need to be there, we need to get rid of them. So if there are things that maybe I'm looking at that I know I don't need to be looking at, are there things I'm listening to, watching, that I just don't need to look at? And when I say don't need to, those things are bringing death in your life. They're going to take you down a path you don't want to go. But praise God that he will bring us. He will give us freedom. He gives us freedom. Okay? Something I wrote down, just if we're thinking about our habits, our soul, be conscious of the theme of your soul. It can quickly become the theme of your life. Okay? Be conscious of the theme of your soul, it can quickly become the theme of your life. Just so you know, and you're with me, church, your soul is your mind, will, and emotions, right? So if I've got negativity, if I've got despair, if I've got hopelessness, if I've got attitude, if I've got grief, okay, he's saying, bring that to me. Bring that to me. Let me rise up a new song in your heart. I think of Psalm 40 that says, I was in the depths of despair. I was in the pit, and he brought me a new song. He gave me a new song. Okay? Thank you, Lord. Yeah. So, or in my song, do I have compassion for others? I got to tell you, and I hope I'm not telling too many stories, but it's just kind of where I am. I came out of the woods from walking my dog. I had just read this story about the widow of Nain, and I was sitting there watching the skaters at the park and just kind of sat there for a second thinking, might have a conversation with one of them. It didn't happen, and as I got up to walk away, this lady was standing there. And she started stroking our dog. We have a big rescue dog. She's a Weimaraner, beautiful. And she just started stroking her. And I would say she was probably 70. A matter of minutes, I learned all about her. I could tell you all kinds. She has two daughters, grandkids. She had dogs. I found out so much about her. And then I told her things about our lives. You know, all this stuff. So, and then it was cold. And I thought to myself, okay, this conversation, I just felt like, I want to go on home. I cannot tell you what the Holy Spirit just said. It was amazing. I looked at her eyes, and it's the Holy Spirit just said, are you going to decide for her? Are you going to decide for her? If this is our life here, and eternity is billions and billions, I almost brought a rope today just to show you visually, but if this is our life, and then just miles and miles stretched out, I wanted to go get warm. I wanted to, go have a cup of tea. And it's like the Father said, Just start talking to her about me. You've told her everything about you, kids, dog stuff, but you haven't told her about the one thing that you love most, and that's me. And as I was standing there, we just brought that conversation to around spiritual things, and that's what it is, like what Matt was talking about. It's that connections, divine connections. And it's nothing, but as I read the word, as I connect to the Spirit, he's with me, I listen, then we speak life. And, you know, we had an amazing conversation. We started walking together because my rescue dog will eat any other dog. And another dog started coming up, and I'm like, oh, hurry, we need to walk away. But we started talking, and the long and short of it, she let me pray with her. And even saying things like, I don't go to church. I'm not religious. God, I'll be a hypocrite if I pray. I said, you know what, my friend Rita, that's actually a lie. There's somebody called the enemy, and he doesn't want you to know truth. And it was amazing. We just sat there, put my arm around her, and tears coming down. We just prayed together. And she said, do you know, I have a friend that has been talking as a Christian that's telling me about Christ all these years, and I just haven't really, really done anything with it. And that was in Brentwood, in the park, you know. So it's so sweet that he wants us. Oh, my thing. Sorry. Oh. Okay, wait. I'm seeing anything. Like, there's someone with a Superman cape on my iPad, and I didn't put it there. So, okay, I got to show you a couple more things, but just beautiful, beautiful connections. I don't know how to do that. I guess I can't. Pete, you want to help me? No. Anyway, okay. So, Yeah, thank you, Lord. So there's a few thoughts that I want us to grasp. The first one today is we represent him every day, okay? Can you say that with me? Because I don't want you to walk out here and go, I remember some stuff, but I'm not sure what she said. Okay. All right. We represent him every day, okay? You're a walking advertisement for the kingdom, okay? Are you glad? All right. So I love it. I'm not going to look, but someone went, oh, like, I don't know. Is that good or bad? All right. They shrugged their shoulders. We have Christ in us, the hope of glory. Now, do you know why this is hard? This has actually been a little hard for me this morning. I'm just going to be honest. And it's not because I haven't studied. It's not because I haven't been on my face going, Lord, what do you want to say? But the enemy doesn't want you to know this. And I just, so if you're tired, he's saying, awake, awake right now. And it's so key, church, that we align our souls to the Word of God. We've got to align our souls to the Word of God. I don't know if you see this picture. Wait, wrong one. Well, I'll just leave it here. Look what it says. If you want to jot this down. So the first thing is we represent him daily. The second thing is his compassion moves us to action. Okay? It's not enough nowadays to just feel sorry for somebody. If you see someone hobbling or needing healing, don't just come up and say, I'm sorry you hurt yourself. Start praying over them to have that courage to come out, all right? To come out and be kingdom-minded. So here's something I want us to think about. The more I saturate my heart with his truth, the less I believe the enemy's lies, okay? If it's one thing that you take today, can we say this together? The more I saturate my heart with his word, the less I believe the enemy's lies. I'm going to say it one more. Let's say it one more time like you really believe it, okay? And this means that five-minute thing, do it for 5 minutes. When you wake up, don't get on Facebook. Don't get on Twitter. Don't get on Instagram. One of my favorite speakers, her saying is, get whispers from God before shouts from the world. Okay? Get whispers from God before shouts from the world. And the more that I saturate my heart in his truth, I'm going to be compelled to share it out. All right? Just the shortest story I read one morning, Psalm 34:15, and it says, the Lord sees the righteous, and he hears our cry. Many of you know I have my phone thing. Do you know the alarms that I set off? Do you remember that? If you don't, put your phone to a time, and at that time, read out scripture or pray it over your family. Okay, so for instance, 4:19, 16:19, my phone goes off saying, my God will supply all my needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. So I've learned wherever I am, whatever I'm doing, I will pray it out. Gary and I have met an Iranian, and I said it wrong because they've corrected me, Iranian, that's the American translation, Iranian friends, and they were in our house. We were having tea and cake and talking. My phone goes off. I have a choice. This was 2 weeks ago. I have a choice. Oh, okay, well, they're Muslim, so, well, what the heck? I'm going to do it anyway. That's what I said. And it's like, hey, Lord, come on. So I just said, my phone goes off, and basically, I just pray wherever I am. And I heard myself saying, Holy Spirit, just coming out, do you mind if I pray over you? They're like, okay. So I just prayed. And then he looks at me and says, well, are those your words? I said, no, they're words from the Bible. And he's like, oh, okay. We go back. We're having tea, conversing. And then an hour later, my phone goes off again. He looks at us, didn't he? He looks at us and goes, oh, is that another verse? Okay, that doesn't make sense. You know, he's not supposed to. And I'm like, yeah, actually it is. And then this conversation, where do these verses come from? They come from the Bible. So while I'm explaining and praying, before I know it, Gary goes in the other room, gets the Bible, opens it up. We're explaining, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, read the whole section to them. And it was an awesome moment. And then sitting next to me, she looks at me, the woman, our new friend, and she said, "Would you pray for me? Would you pray? I have a very sick sister." Okay, a very sick sister. What did I read that morning? Psalm 34, verse 15. "The Lord's eyes are upon us, and he hears our cry." And I said to her, "Do you know, I just read a verse this morning that the Lord hears our cry." I put my arm around her, and as we sat at that table, we prayed for healing for her sister. Now, the reason I want you to hear this story, that was 2 weeks ago. Last night, we were getting ready to walk the dog, and my phone rang. It was her. Here's what she said. "Thank you so much for praying, because the test came back negative and my sister got the all clear." Okay? So hallelujah. So he's calling us. He's calling us today, church, that if there's moments of divine connections, remember we represent him daily. Yes, we represent him daily. His compassion moves us to action. And the more I saturate my heart with his word, it's going to keep coming out. Okay, so that's his word for you today. Would you stand up with me, please? Oh, thank you, Lord. Yeah, Father, I thank you that you have been with us this morning. And I thank you for your word that you said it never returns void. So, God, I pray in every heart today just that you would seal those things, those truths, that you would give us courage to almost, to not decide for other people whether they want you or not, that we won't decide for them. But if we speak out, then, they can say no, but we won't decide for them. So I pray just for that sphere of influence of every person here, that they would look around to their neighbors and think, "Father, you've entrusted that neighbor to my care, my spiritual care." And I pray that our eyes would be opened, our ears would be in tune. And as we saturate our hearts in your word, that word is naturally going to come out. And you would give us compassion and love for all those around us, Father. Yeah, thank you, Lord. So I just feel like there's one other thing he's saying to do is that he wants us to picture one person, one person that we can make an effort. And because I just want you to know, in the body of Christ, that picture was here earlier, that I'm a mouth in the sense that I love teaching and talking, but it can be something like serving. It can be giving. It can be just coming alongside and having a coffee with someone, taking care of someone's toddler, giving someone a ride, cooking someone a dinner, coming into work, and when someone's down and depressed, that you just bring life. You're bringing the Spirit of Christ. You're bringing his presence, his peace with you. So hands, feet, eyes, words of knowledge, just pray for our church today that those things would rise up, that we would be his life on this earth while we have this tiny amount of time before eternity. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. In your name, amen.